Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A local doctor has been in practice for over 50 years and is still going strong. What's his story? In the second part of a two-part program, let's go in-depth with Dr. Earl McKeever with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. So how did you get to Knoxville?
Well, as I approached the last year of military service, I started looking around, and I think I looked in an AMA magazine and saw an ad for a position here in Knoxville, Iowa. I saw ads, and there were multiple ads. And I visited, I think, four different places. I started out wanting to return to Missouri. That's where I grew up, and that's kind of where I wanted to be. But I couldn't, I think I interviewed maybe three places in Missouri and two in Iowa. And of the places, this was the place I liked the best, and it had the things I was looking for.
Well, why pick Knoxville? What was special about it?
Well, I wanted to go to a community, a small town, a rural community that was in fairly close proximity to a metropolitan area, as Knoxville is to Des Moines. It sort of mirrors my upbringing in Catawissa, Missouri, which is 35 miles or 40 from St. Louis. And so it's similar to that.
And so brought your family with you?
Yes.
Because they were still young?
Yes.
And the hospital wasn't the hospital it is now.
No, it was downtown, and it was the building that is there now is expanded from when I came. It was about half that size, and then we built an extension on it some years later and to where it is now. But
and it's City Hall now.
Yes, right.
All right, so it was a small hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And things have changed a lot.
They have changed. They certainly have.
You're about to say you have no idea.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's true. I don't have
Well, I'm sure you understand about all the changes in the last 50 years, but it's been across our society and all aspects of it. But certainly in the medical field, it's just been it's hardly recognizable.
So what are some of the major changes in your mind?
Well, there's so many. Technology, of course, is the major one. Technology and all the things that it does. You know, back then there was no computers, there was no MRIs, there was no CTs, there was no ultrasounds. All that is new, and from when I started. The medical records when I came, the medical records were a 3x5 card with all family members on the card. And a typical entry would be tonsillitis, penicillin, and the person's name beside it, and that'd be all. And now if you come in with that same thing, you're going to generate three or four typewritten pages about you. It's not just going to say tonsillitis. But so that's a major change. There are a lot of changes.
Well, and are they all for the better?
Most of them are. I think the quality of medicine is better now than it was then. Most of them are for the better. They're aggravating, some of them, you know, and you have to be so detailed about things. And in those days, you didn't have to be detailed. There are much more restrictions about use of narcotics now than there was then. And there, in general, more restrictions across the board, but...
Well, the restrictions on the narcotics, it seems like that might be for the better.
Well, and so the medical records are for the better. You know, I complain about the records, but they're almost on a daily basis because I don't like, you know, I'd like to see you and decide what's wrong with you, and we talk about it and send you on your way with something that I hope helps you.
And then you just put a note.
And I'd like to have somebody else do all the note-taking, but it doesn't work that way.
More in depth after this. A I continued my conversation with Dr. Earl McKeever. Well, how did you keep up with all the technology?
Well, it's a day-to-day process. You know, you don't sit in a vacuum for 10 years and suddenly develop capacity to do things. You know, that like, you know, when you were born and young, there was no computers too. So you've learned how to use computers just by working with them. And it's the same way with day-to-day activity. And
it's not like we're Rick and Winkle and wake up 20 years from now.
You know, I think that I am able to do those things. I think some doctors, older doctors, have left practice because they didn't want to face or deal with computers. And I know of several who've just said, you know, I'm not going to do it. Well, I think they're missing out. I think they should have done it, but that's their decision. So.
Well, actually, it's pretty much the same. The young doctors have to go through some of the same learning processes.
But it's more natural for them because they've grown up with it. You know, your grandchildren, my grandchildren, they just fly through computers.
They understand my cell phone.
And they help me out. My grandchildren help me out with my computer activities and cell phones and all that.
What other aspects of the medical profession have changed? How about relationships between patients or between you and your patients? Is that the same?
It's pretty, I can't say that it's much different. It's changed for me personally because when you first come into a community, you don't know anybody. You don't have any friends. And, every time you see a patient, it's a new person to you, and you're new to them, and so there's no trust between the two of you, and that's just the way it is. But after you've taken care of them for 10 years, and you've told them, been truthful with them, and so on, and they're truthful with you, so now my patients, they come in, and I know them, I trust them that they're going to tell me the truth, and I think they trust me. And so that's a very satisfying part of practicing in one area for a prolonged period of time.
And so people are fundamentally the same back then when you started?
Yes, I think they're the same.
And doctor-patient relationship
is
pretty much the same.
It is. It's third-party peers influence things a lot more than they did then, but the relationship between the patient and the doctors, I think, the same.
So patients aren't more demanding or less demanding or anything?
I don't think so. Their expectations have changed, and so they expect different things. You know, they didn't expect CAT scans back there if they had belly pain 50 years ago because there were no CAT scans. If they had belly pain, you thought they had maybe appendicitis, you operated on them. Now you get a CAT scan, and the first step is not operation. So people have come to be knowledgeable about it, and they expect to be treated a certain way and to have certain modalities applied to them.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dr. Earl McKeever. Do we as patients know more than we used to? There's more information readily available.
Yes, I think so. Much more. People, they go into the internet and look up any wild and bizarre disease, and they know as much or more about than a doctor may. They don't have the background of other medical background, but they can learn about a disease very completely.
But that must have its downside, too.
Well, it sometimes maybe in that they might have some misconceptions about something, but knowledge is usually helpful. And I think, 50 years ago, the doctor was more of a authority figure than he is now. People are more intelligent. And so at least my philosophy is that the patient and the doctor are co-conspirators, they're trying to put together a plan, and the doctor's not the authoritarian figure he used to be. He doesn't say you do this and you do this. He says, I think it'd probably be best if you do this, and what do you think about it? And, you know, you get feedback from the patient. If you're right about what you're saying, if the patient's not going to do it, it doesn't do any, you know. So sometimes you have to compromise and try to get the individual to do whatever he will do rather than what he should do.
Well, your family's grown and prospered here?
Yes. I was, after 10 years here, I divorced. I had three more children with my first wife. And after 10 years then, we divorced. I remarried. And my second wife then had two children that I adopted. And then we had two of our own. So I've been a parent and a father to nine children.
And pursued a medical career.
Yes.
Successfully.
And gotten those, I'm proud of having those children educated. You know, they're all educated and have college degrees.
So you think your mom, looking back, you think she would say you did a good job?
Oh, yeah, she's proud of that, yeah.
And that was
she lived to see some of them educated, and so yeah, she would be.
And your dad too, I bet.
Yes.
Both of them very proud of you. And
I believe everybody. So. A little story I'll tell you. I went to my mother died on a Thursday. I went to the wake in Missouri. My dad introduced me to people as, this is my son, the doctor. He didn't even tell him my name, you know. He was, which I thought was interesting and demonstrated he was proud.
Well, he worked hard. He was a farmer. Your
yes.
mom was a school teacher. They worked hard every day.
Yeah, for very little money, you know.
But to give you that advantage.
That's right.
And it carries on through these other generations.
That's true.
Well, good for them. Looks like you come from work. Your gown, is that what you call those?
Well, it's a scrub.
Your scrub. Your scrub says Mater Clinic.
Yep. That was, I worked and was a co-owner of the Mater Clinic for 36 years. And so then we sold to, or the clinic, we sold it to Iowa Health Systems. And after 4 years, they sold it to the hospital out here. So I just kind of leave that on there.
It's a memory.
Yeah.
Any regrets? Anything you'd like to do different?
Oh, I've made some mistakes. Yeah, there's some things I would do different throughout my life, yes.
Well, that's sort of all of us, huh?
I hope so. I hope I'm not the only one.
I don't think so. Well, any regret coming to Knoxville?
Oh, never. No, I've never had any regrets coming to Knoxville. It was difficult to communicate and to visit my parents who lived 6 hours away for years, but that's part of it. No, I have never regretted coming to Knoxville. I've been very satisfied with Knoxville. I think it's the greatest place on the planet to raise children. You know, I can't imagine a better place than this. So I'm very, very satisfied and pleased with Knoxville.
Now, you've got a pretty big audience listening, and I'm hoping some of those people listening are kids.
Okay.
You got any advice for kids that might be thinking about medicine or any other professions?
Well, no matter what you want to do, the sooner you can decide to do it, you're better off. You know, if you can decide it when you're 7 years old, you're going to do something, it's much better off than you decide when you're 20. On the other hand, it's not too late to change your mind if you are 20 or 22 or 3 or 4. But it is better if you can decide what you want to do and just persevere and just focus on that. And if you can stay focused, I think that's what's helped me throughout the years, is I have stayed focused.
Okay, and so how many years have you been in practice?
I've been 54 years now.
54 years?
Yes.
Any thoughts of retirement?
Not as long as I feel well and as long as my mental capacities are okay. I would retire if my peers tell me it's time for you to retire, you're losing your ability to take care of people, I would do that. I'd retire tomorrow if they told me that. Unless I'm disabled, though, I probably won't retire. If my employer would say it's time for you to retire, I suppose I would retire. But I don't have any plans to retire at the present time. I don't know if I'm going to be able to practice medicine for another year or another 5 years or just what, but somewhere down the line I'll be retiring, you know. The Almighty will retire me.
A lot of guys would just be sitting there waiting to put their, you know, put their feet up on a beach somewhere and drink a Mai Tai or a margarita or something and put it behind them, but not you.
Well, I enjoy what I do so much. I can't imagine going anywhere to Hawaii or any other place and enjoying what I'm doing as much as what I'm doing now. My work and job at the present time is, for me, it's just ideal. I can't imagine anybody having a job this good where I get to talk and visit all day long with my friends and we discuss their health and other issues. And I get paid for that, you know. It's just hard to believe. It has become less stressful as time has gone along and as mutual trust has developed between myself and the patients. And sometimes it's my job to tell them things they don't want to hear, but people accept that as long as you're honest with them, I believe. So I couldn't conceive of retiring and being happy like I am now. I am enthusiastic every day when I get up in the morning. I'm enthusiastic about going to work and having this wonderful experience.
Thanks to Dr. Earl McKeever for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.